I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song.
Good morning, y'all.
That's been sung 100 times before.
I rode all the way up to Flagstaff, broadcasting live this morning. It's a beautiful morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. Oh, yeah. A Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. We come together every Saturday morning for the sole purpose of trying to melt away your anxieties that you may have built up during the week, listening to the news, encountering work, family relationships, and we just kind of make Saturday morning your easy time. We are your happy place. Thanks for tuning in. I bet you wish you were here with me. What a beautiful morning in the pines. 108 in Phoenix yesterday. Set a little record there. Congratulations. Now, only in Arizona can you set a record of heat 108. Drive 2.5 hours and be skiing. San Francisco Peaks Flagstaff Snow Bowl was open. It's actually open this weekend. Tickets today are $19. There are like 12 or 13 runs open. And catch this. If you don't have anything to do tomorrow and you want to get one more little run in before the summer, you can get up here and ski in your swimsuit tomorrow for free. They're running the runs all day long. And everybody skis for free tomorrow. First time in the history of the Snow Bowl that it's open in May. How about that?
You're going to stay in. You're going to ski in your bathing suit tomorrow?
I didn't bring my bathing suit.
Ah, the free day of skiing. I'm surprised you give that up.
Yeah, well, I haven't decided that I am going to give it up yet.
Ah. Let us know.
Hey, you know there was a lot of anxiety in Washington, D.C. this week. But, you know, I think we can take heart in one thing. Did you see that there was a vote by the House and the Senate, by the Republicans, the Democrats, the Independents, that got 100% participation? They all voted yes for one bill this past week. Now, is that an incredible sign of unity? Do you know what that bill was? To keep spending your money. They passed the extension of the federal government. So it is my conclusion that regardless of party, regardless what they say, they all are united in spending our money. Whether it's tax and spend or borrow and spend, they're perfectly united on spending, spending, spending. Does that lift you up? Does that cheer you up? Hey, listen, I'm broadcasting from Flagstaff, and I do want to cheer you up. And I'm joined this morning by Sasha Siskinen, the museum education curator for the beautiful Reardon Mansion State Park. Sasha, thank you so much for getting up and joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background. How do you land at Reardon State Park?
Yeah, I came from an academic background. I was in grad school and studying English, actually, and teaching. And then I moved back to Flagstaff and was looking around for a job. And I started, in with AmeriCorps, that program. It's like the domestic Peace Corps.
Yes.
People serve here in America. And I got a job at the Arizona Historical Society.
Cool.
Working first part-time.
Up here.
Yeah, right okay. here in town. And helping with education and school trips, things like that. And then they hired me on full-time.
Fantastic. And then you got planted here at the Reardon.
Yep. I go back and forth between Reardon Mansion and the Pioneer Museum.
And the Pioneer is north of town?
It's on Fort Valley Road as you're headed out to Snow Bowl.
Okay, yes. Yeah, it's a big stone structure, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Pretty building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Originally a hospital.
That's right. I knew that. Now, the Reardon Mansion is a state park dating back how far?
It officially became a state park in 1981.
Okay.
And it opened to the public in 83.
I hadn't been here till just fairly recently. It was like 6 or 7 years ago. So I knew it was here. I just never took the time to get in here and tour it. And once I did, I thought, what a hidden little gem. And I thought, this must have been converted to a state park fairly a long time ago, because the NAU campus has just completely enveloped the entire property. And I'm just surprised the university hasn't, by mere need for space, put a bulldozer to this building.
Yeah. I think there might have been talk of it, but it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, man. Well, thank goodness it didn't happen. So the Reardon Mansion is named after the family that built it and lived here. Tell me a little bit about the Reardon family.
Yes, the Reardon brothers were actually three brothers who came here from Chicago and started working at a lumber mill here in town. It was the first lumber mill in town. They didn't open it, but they bought it pretty quickly. And they ran it. Eventually, one brother moved away, and then the two younger brothers, Tim and Michael, stayed here in town and owned the lumber mill and ended up building this duplex home for their families.
And that's kind of an interesting story all in of itself. I mean, the mill at one time, it was between the Reardon Lumberyard and the Babbitt Ranches, like the two biggest employers of all northern Arizona, right?
Yes. And the Reardons were actually related to the Babbitts through their wives.
Oh,
their wives were the Babbitts' cousins.
Okay.
The Metz sisters. And they moved out here. One actually came to visit her cousins, Caroline. She just came to town to see the Babbitts, and she got introduced to Tim Reardon, and that's how they met.
Okay. And the Reardon Lumberyard was located just over by the railroad tracks and Route 66, right?
Yep.
Right at the base of the hill.
Mm-hmm. The corner of Reardon Road and Route 66.
Okay.
There's a Days Inn on that site now. The mill burned down, I believe, in the 60s or 70s.
And I can remember coming up here and learning how to ski at the Snow Bowl in 65, 66, 67. There were still remnants of it, kind of in pieces and parts before the Days Inn got built. It was kind of laying around there. So the one of the largest employer of the city.
Yes, for a time. At their height, they employed about a half to a third of the town. At this time, town was only about 2,000 people, give or take a little less. So,
and they employed between a third and a half of all able-bodied, probably primarily men.
Yes, men. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a pretty big employer, pretty significant economic machine for Flagstaff.
Yes, yes. And they helped to build a lot of infrastructure in town as well.
I bet they did. So they come down the hill just maybe a half a mile from the mill, and they pick this site. It's kind of hard to tell now why this site in relation to everything else. So much has changed with the campus coming up around it. But it's a beautiful site, and they build a 12,000-square-foot log cabin.
13,000.
13,000.
Yes.
And it's not really a log cabin. They went through a lot of trouble to make this look like a log cabin, and it's not a log cabin.
Yes. Their architect, Charles Whittlesey, was working in the arts and crafts style, and in that style you're supposed to match your surroundings. So they wanted it to blend into that ponderosa pine forest, so they made it look like a log cabin, but it's actually a wood-framed house. But they cut pieces off the logs, called it slash, the bark from the trees. Then they used all that extra material that would have just been probably burned at the mill, and they nailed it onto the structure so that it would look like there were logs on the house.
So it's like taking a large log and sending it through the saw and just cutting the edge off. So you're getting a disc shape that has the outside bark on it and one flat edge. And then the flat edge goes against your 2x framing and nailed in place. And as you go up and stack these slash, you get the finished look. But then they went through a lot of trouble when you do a conventional log cabin, like the Lincoln logs we all grew up with. The outside corners kind of interlock. They went through the trouble to interlock all the outside corners of this slash.
Well, they're called vigas, and they kind of jut out, and they're meant to look like interlocking corners, but they're just decorative.
And I mean, that's a lot of work. For it makes you wonder, they had all the lumber they needed. Why didn't they just do a log home?
I think from what I've heard, it's not so efficient to have a log home.
Yeah, it's kind of drafty.
Yeah.
Especially back then when they didn't have quite technology and the engineering to plane them off and bolt them down and put tension bars in there and all that. So the two brothers build a 13,000 square foot duplex, now called the Reardon Mansion. They move in here with their wives.
Yes.
That are?
Their wives are sisters.
Two brothers marry two sisters.
Yes. Yeah. So Tim married Caroline first. They were the older siblings. And then Caroline's sister, Elizabeth, came to town to visit. And she met Michael, Tim's younger brother.
Do you know where were the Mets is from? Where was she coming in to visit from?
Cincinnati.
Okay. All right. So she comes from Cincinnati to Flagstaff, Arizona in what, the late 1800s?
Yes, this was the 1880s, 1890s, right on that cusp.
That's a big trip to visit a cousin in the 1880s. And she gets introduced to Mr. Reardon. It's instant love. And then the younger brother, younger sister, Mary. Now we've got two couples involved in the management of the mill, build a 13,000 square foot, quote unquote, log cabin, look-alike log cabin, and move into the property. How long did it take to build this 13,000? It sounds like they had plenty of labor.
Yes. Yes. It only took about 9 months to build it. They started in, I believe, September as the mill operations were winding down. They worked through the winter, spring, and into the summer, and they moved in by the next September.
And you have to wonder, somebody from Cincinnati getting married and making a summer through Flagstaff, some of the things they're considering in making the house comfortable year-round. And I'm here with Sosia Siskinen, the museum education curator for the Reardon Mansion in Flagstaff. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some very, very innovative things that they incorporated into the architecture and construction of this house.